Oh, yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Welcome to a brand new week. I would say good morning, Canada, and I still will, but I want to say hello to our American viewers observing Memorial Day today. Thinking of you folks down there and to Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the program today. Really big show today, hotly anticipated. This is a teamwork show today because Paul, the infamous Paul, said last week we should get to the commissioner on Randy Ambrosi. And I said, that's Clark's deal. So Clark did it.
Yeah.
And coming up in mere moments, we will have the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, joining us. That's a pretty good way to start the week, along with TSN insider Darren Dreger. Mike Abu-Meshrick. Abu will be with us today, and Rob Vanstone from the Leader Post as we call this the rollout for Flooring Superstore here as we roll out what the show's going to be. Clark was standing right there moments ago and said, hey, the commissioner probably going to be in early, so at any time during the rollout, I'm going to let you know that Randy is ready and we'll go to him right away. So we're a little out of sorts in terms of how we normally do things. When you have royalty like that, you roll out the red carpet. And that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great. Great. How are you?
Good. Hey, golf, there's going to be a golf theme today. So I just want to mention, you got your Deer Valley pullover, bunny hug on.
Yep.
I was going to wear mine, but my daughter said I look fat in it, and she's right. So I'm either going to lose weight or request a bigger bunny hug before I wear mine. But you were out at Deer Valley this weekend. It was a cold one yesterday.
It was chilly in the morning, yeah. But it was fun. It was so great. You know, the day turned in the afternoon. And then, so it was on the course at 7 and off by like 10 o'clock. So it was a great way to start the day. And then I'm watching the match, which I know you want to get into. But
of course.
I'm watching that, and I'm sitting there, pulled up my phone, and I considered booking another tee time for the afternoon because I'm like so ready to go after watching that. It was a fun weekend.
Well, we're ready to talk sports today for 2 hours, and thanks for joining us. So here are the quick six show topics that will run as a theme throughout the program today. Obviously, the match yesterday, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning beating Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady and all of the offshoots of it. I have not had a more enjoyable afternoon of sports in a very long time. Not just sitting there hanging on every shot, but grabbing my guts and laughing and rolling, tears flowing down my face from laughter from what was going on and what was being said. Oh, that led to point six, which I will get to. Some actual news. Point two, got the notification this morning, I think it was from the Score, that the NHL is planning their phase two, opening up their facilities in early June. I still think that kind of goes in line with what my NHL insider report said. August 1st, they'll start the playoffs, which leads to point three. You saw the NHL Players Association voted in favor of going to the next stage of the 2014 playoff. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's completely ratified, but at least 29 of 31 teams voted yes. Two voted no, Tampa Bay and Carolina. We'll get into that whole scenario and the reasons why those two voted against it. Point four, is CFL 2.0 worthwhile now? Because we had Josh Bartel in here on the weekend, or I should say I was in here on the weekend interviewing Josh Bartel. He was in Australia, made a great point. Yeah, he's all for CFL 2.0. Did you see the interview, by the way? It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It was very funny. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah.
But he's all for global players because he was one, has been one for the last 8 years. But he said the game's got to be on TV.
Yeah.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It absolutely makes sense. No, they got to be on TV, and that interview was so great. I got the notification that it was coming on, too, and I was out, you know, over the weekend, and I couldn't stop watching. And he's such an entertaining guy, isn't he? And it was fun to hear his voice and see his face.
Everybody writing in about the golf on the weekend, whether it be theirs, yours, or the match, or so forth, but Josh Bartel's a good guy. Most of these guys, 98%, are good guys. Tom Brady's a great guy, which I'll get into with the Mets. This is why I was cheering for him so much.
Yeah.
And then to see the pain that he was going through. I felt the pain. We'll come back on that. Point five. Remember last week when I said the Dallas Cowboys were in the news every day?
Yes.
Today again, Dak Prescott, that's the talk on ESPN's Get Up. And I'm just going to ask you, yes or no, do you think... Well, I know the answer to this, but is he worth $45 million a year? The answer is no, just
no,
so you know.
Of course not, but I mean, he's worth whatever the market's willing, you know, the market bears to pay him. He should take it if he gets it, but no, he's not worth it.
It's not even what the market bears. I wrote down Russell Wilson, highest paid quarterback, $35 million. Next, Big Ben, $34 million. Next after that, Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million per season. You know what all those guys have? Super Bowls. Wins.
Right. But since they've gotten the big money, they haven't gotten the Super Bowls, right? So that's the trade-off, and that's what they're talking about with Patrick Mahomes, you know, because he's going to be negotiating a contract, and should he take the max deal or should he take a little bit less and, you know, to build a team around him and win? And notoriously, when the quarterback is you know, paid amongst the top three or four quarterbacks or the top, you know, five quarterbacks in the NFL, you don't win. So with Dak, he should be willing because look at all the weapons he's got now from the draft and from, you know, you look at what they've had before. The center focal is Ezekiel Elliott. You build that now, you have a chance for something special.
The correct answer is that, is what Jason and Red Deer said, nobody's worth $45 million. Nobody. And that's where pro sports loses me. They're just not getting the message.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. He's going to be franchise tagged. That's what's going to happen. And he will play for $35 million. Point six, this is what I got in a bit of an argument with a friend of mine in the media yesterday. I'm watching the golf. I'm realizing how great this is for my mental health, just to let out a big ha-ha, several of them, actually. And that's what led me to tweet, should sports be a priority? I tweeted, anybody who thinks sports shouldn't be a priority, the return of sports has rocks in their head. And the majority of people agreed with it. A lot of people that didn't just didn't say anything at all, didn't want to fight about it, which I appreciate. And then Andrew Walker, good friend of mine, longtime friend of mine, and an afternoon sports host in Vancouver on Sportsnet 650, went after me and said sports shouldn't be a priority. And we kind of went after it for a while. And then it kind of was clear that Wax was not. Like, I'm like, hey, great debate. Let's shake hands. He didn't want to shake hands. He's like, it's not even a debate. Sports shouldn't be a priority. And I believe it should be as a mental health professional. Look, you can still spend millions and billions on safety and health and all the rest, but you can still focus on getting sports back because it's important, too. Why can't there be a couple of priorities here is what my point is. And even people in Vancouver were coming to my defense saying, look, maybe not Vancouver sports, but how about the rest of the continent? Which is kind of what my point was. Yeah. So, I mean, for there's a lot of people not affected by the coronavirus, but their lives are being ruined, whether they work in sports or they don't work in sports. They restaurants not opening up. Whenever this ends, we're done. Saw that on the weekend. A lot of friends of mine, restaurant. This is ruining their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So I just from a sports, because it impacts so many people directly and indirectly, I believe it should be a priority. What Randy Ambrosi's crew is doing right now is investigating, kicking over every rock. It's a priority for them. I guess that's my point. People that say that sports isn't a priority returning, they're not sports fans. So it's easy for them to say that.
Well, and it
didn't affect them.
You're right. It's not an if or this or that argument. Like Randy Ambrosi, I can't imagine that his time is decided between, okay, am I going to work on getting the league back or am I going to work on, you know, making sure the hospitals are running smoothly and that we have more ventilators? That's somebody does. So let the sports people focus
on their thing.
Right. And make it a priority. And it's not coming at an expense of anything else, but it should be a priority. Absolutely. Look at all the good that was done yesterday. $20 million was raised, but you had a great afternoon. People were enjoyable. They weren't, you know, wondering what to do with their time. They weren't missing going out to public places. They just enjoyed the day. It was great. Sports can be a really big part of
well, and on a reverse look at that, and Clark tells me Randy's ready, so I just want to finish that thought. Just look at the Vancouver Olympics. If we want to use Vancouver as an example, in 2010, hearing that $500 million were going to be spent on this, I thought you could eradicate homelessness, which is a major problem, and the substance abuse issue and mental health crisis in Vancouver. You could just get rid of that with that money. No, the Olympics were the priority. So it's kind of the reverse scenario, but I'm saying sports should be a priority now. Let sports people focus on it and let the health people focus on what they're doing.
Yes.
But they do intersect, and I guess that's where we'll start with the commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi, who joins us from Southern Ontario today on the video chat. Good morning, Randy, or good afternoon to you. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm great, Rod. How about yourself? Safe and sound, I trust?
We're all safe out here. Well, in Saskatchewan, you know, you got to throw a stone to hit somebody. So, you know, social distancing isn't the biggest issue where we are. But I want to start with this, Randy. For you, how have the last 2 months been? What's it been like?
The word interesting comes to mind, and I'm sure there are others. If we took enough time, I could give you a whole host of words that would describe, the fact is we're doing, I just was listening to your conversation, and I think we're doing exactly as you described. We're spending a lot of time, looking at scenarios. Rod, I think one of the important points to make is that, man, I am rooting for, and there's not a person in the CFL that's not rooting for our healthcare community, that's not rooting for everyone in the supply chain that's helping us manage our way through the crisis. And, you know, I hope it's not lost on the broader community that I don't think sports have tried to be selfish here and hog the puck, to use a hockey term. I think we're just as passionate, maybe as or more passionate about the things that are really critical to society's, the way society functions. We just happen to believe that sports is a good part of the world, and it makes people feel good. And I think we can be part of the rebuilding and the healing process.
You know, now that you say that, I think it was at your stop here that you'd mentioned a story about a couple that are both doctors in Saskatoon that you'd become friends with. And they said to you, what you're doing is so important. Remember that? And that was way pre-COVID. Can you relate that story?
Yeah. And, you know, Rod, I just finished talking to them. they are a remarkable couple, and they are part of a remarkable family, Mark and Shanna Fenton. And I just love them. And I called them. I had a chance just to get a sense from them of what they're seeing, maybe some advice to, as I think about how to help the CFL navigate this path to potentially restarting. But their point was that that sports has a voice. And early on in those days, what they were asking me to do, and we've seen sports do a very good job of this, is to really encourage people to do the social distancing, you know, to follow the rules. And so Mark and Shanna were asking me then is to be a voice for all the good behaviors that it would take for us to get this virus under control. So, you know, I think they understand the power that sports has as a force for goodness. And that's something that, again, we should remind ourselves of. Not that we're more important, but Rod, we're important because we do good things for society.
I'm going to double back around on this with my last question as to how CFL lovers, what they can do at this time, which it kind of ties in with that. But with your town hall last week, the virtual town hall, you came away, a lot of people were impressed with the message. Were you happy with how the town hall went and was received and the way the statement was conveyed?
Yeah, Rod, I think so. You know, again, we're all learning how to use technology. Look at you. This is a phenomenal show, and what you're doing with technology is you know, quite remarkable. Yeah, I think, you know, it was good because it felt more personal. You know, it could have issued a press release and that would have been what it was, but a chance to really connect directly with our season seat holder fans who, as you know, are passionate about our league, answer their questions directly, was a real positive step. And you know, Rod, you know this, over these past 3 years, I think it's been one of the things that I've enjoyed the most about being commissioner of the CFL is I just get to spend a lot of time with people that love our sport and talking directly with them, whether that's in a stadium, you know, walking through the concourse or the way we did it last week. Boy, there's a measurable value in the ability to talk to the fans who love your sport the most because they're filled with wisdom and good advice.
Yeah, and I know you get a lot of it for sure. That's a big part of the pressure of your job, of many pressures. But I did have a question from a very close friend of mine. He was the best man at my wedding. He, Rider season ticket holder. He said, could you ask the commissioner this? Would you consider more than two bubble cities was his idea, just forgetting Eastern Canada, bringing the Eastern teams out here and using all of Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Regina. Is that conceivable?
Yeah, again, Rod, the exercise that we're undertaking is one that's designed by its inherent nature not to kick things out of the mix before you've had a chance to really evaluate them. So I think the idea of bubble cities, you know, whether it be one, two, three, four or more, is not, you know, right now where nothing's off the table. Having said that, at some point you have to start to narrowing the field. You have to eliminate some of the options because you burn through a lot of time and energy on things that may or may not be practical. The reason for a smaller number of hub cities, assuming that you're going to play the teams inside of each hub, if you were to have that, are going to have to compete against one another, is that you've got to cut down on the amount of travel. And of course, in Canada, traveling equals distance. And so again, the more hub cities you have, the more distance you have to cover. And that complicates things. But again, I'd say to everyone, you know what? We're not trying to be right. We're trying to get it right. And Rod, those two things sound the same when you say them fast, but they're totally different ideas. We're just trying to get it right. We're trying to figure out a way to play if we can and do it safely for our players, do it in a way that makes sense for the future of the league, and ultimately set ourselves up to get through the crisis and into better days ahead in 2021 and beyond.
Being a university football alum and CFL alum that you are is invaluable, obviously, in your role. Have you in your mind gone back and thought, how would I have handled this when I was a player?
Oh my gosh, Rod. In fact, it's really been through the lens of my talking with my wife. And Barb and I have been together since we were kids. And, you know, we've been best friends since, you know, well, since basically forever. And we were talking about that very thing. It was actually Barb just reminding me that I have a responsibility to think about my job through the lens of the players. And she said, you know, Randy, remember what it was like for us as training camp approached. You know, you had this long off season where, you know, for Barb and I, we were both working. But she said, you remember that money that you were going to make as a player was really making a difference in our life. And she says, you know, and you could imagine what it would have been like for us had you gotten a call from someone to say that training camps aren't going to go ahead, and the pressures that we would have felt as a young couple, as young couples do feel pressures. And Barb's just been a real good voice, reminding me that these young men that play our game have families, and that, Rod, I think it's really helped. I really think as I've been trying to understand how to move forward, part of it has been to just remember that I was there once too, and this would have had a very negative effect on me and my family.
Yeah, I figured you would have. That's why I asked. And one of our viewers, John in Edmonton, has a question. He says, can you ask Randy, can he discuss at all the report coming out about the Spring League's interest in potentially partnering with the CFL? How far have you gone down that road, if at all?
Yeah, you know what? Quite honestly, not very far. The gentleman from the Spring League reached out to me and asked if we could have a call. And, you know, quite honestly, Rod, I try to wake up and face the day through the lens of having an open mind and look at the good possibilities and things. I honestly don't know what that relationship might or might not yield. But look, he's obviously a football person, and we all know football people are pretty darn great. So I said I would take a call with him, and I'm going to. And quite frankly, I'm guessing I'll really enjoy it. You know, whether or not there is something there, I have no idea today. But I would never. I don't think it does the CFL or it doesn't do me any good to not acknowledge him. So that was my first step, is just to reply back saying, hey, I'd love a call. And next step is just to hear what he's thinking.
Just a couple last questions before I let you go, because I know your phone's going nuts. You are the commissioner of a pro football league, so I won't take up much more of your time. You mentioned CFL 3.0, the next business model, last week in the virtual town hall. That really piqued a lot of people's interest out here. How much are you guys looking at what the CFL might look like when you come out of this, business-wise?
Yeah, it's becoming a real prominent thought process. Look, I know you, and we've known each other now for over the past 3 years, and I would say of the thousands of CFL fans that I've met during my tenure as the commissioner would tell you that there is such a great passion for this league, but nobody is going to say that we run the best business model and everyone is just absolutely certain that all that we're clicking on or firing on all nine cylinders. We're not. And if we're going to fight our way through this crisis, then we have a responsibility to make sure that on our way through that we set ourselves on a foundation for long-term success and prosperity. And that has to be to the benefit of our fans. It has to be the benefit of our players and our football operations and our medical staff and yes, our owners, that it doesn't make any sense to me to battle this hard, to be this passionate about something that matters to all of us, not to be looking for a way to set this league on a solid foundation for the future. Because, you know, you look in Ryderville, you build that beautiful Mosaic Stadium in Winnipeg, IGG Field, and all across this country where, you know, we play games and how important we are to the community. I feel compelled to do everything we can now to reinvent ourselves, make the changes that are going to be necessary to set us up for the future. And that's really, I think, going to be a critical exercise. It's going to take a lot of it's going to take a lot of thought and process. It's going to take a lot of discussion. You know, we have shared the idea with the PA that we really need to talk about how do we get this right so that when we come out of this, we're set up for long-term success.
Great answer. Pat in Winnipeg's watching. Pat McAdoo, she says, just when I thought I couldn't like the commissioner anymore, what a great interview. That's from Pat. So Winnipegger, fellow Winnipegger for you, Randy. The last question I have for you, and I should have sent you an email that I was going to ask you this, but it's not that hard. What can we CFL lovers do in the meantime? Because there's a lot of people that want to help. They don't know how to help. What would you suggest to those people?
Yeah, well, you know, Rod, we're actually seeing it in action. We've seen a lot of our season seat holders across the country just say, just leave the money with the team, you know, that for now. We don't need the money. We're okay. Rod, we should also say there are families who are passionate about our league, who may have been negatively affected by this COVID crisis. And I would tell them, if you need the money, you should take the money, because we're family. That's how we all feel about the CFL and its fans. But Rod, we're seeing all across the country fans writing to us just saying, no, just keep the money for now. Rod, we are working on a couple of ideas for how we maybe really connect our fans with our league in a more dramatic way. So I'm going to just tease you with the thought that there are some things coming in the days ahead, because we have been asked that very question, and I so appreciate your asking it. You know, how can we help? And I think there is a way that we think we can do something really fun to engage our fans in supporting this league that they love so much. And then, Rod, what I'll offer in return is that we're going to do everything we can to fight our way through this crisis, play as much football as we can play, if we can play this year, but set this league on a path for a brilliant future, a 2.0 and maybe, yes, a 3.0 future.
Good. Well, our message will be then, stay tuned. Something great's coming. Randy, I appreciate this. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before we let you go?
Yeah, Rod, again, just as I try to do every time, a big shout out to the medical community. Obviously, they're the heroes of this time, and those that are in the supply chain. Obviously, we are all grateful as a nation that we're able to eat, that there's food in our stores, are obviously our first responders, Rod. They deserve a shout out because their jobs have gotten tougher. I was talking with Stu Laird in Calgary last week, and Stu's a fireman, a wonderful guy, by the way. And you know, he was telling me that the job of the first responder community is definitely more difficult than it was before COVID. So, Rod, a shout out to all of them. And then finally, just to our fans, look, thank you for everything you do for us. We have something special. We have a chance to build this truly coast-to-coast CFL, this global CFL, this inclusive CFL, and one, you know, in the not-too-distant future, bigger, stronger one together. And I want to say thanks to all of them. And last but not least, Rod, to you. You're just a giant fan of ours and a great supporter. And I wish you and your family the very, very best. And I look forward to chatting again sometime soon.
Same to yours. Randy, outstanding job. Keep up the great work. Thank you so much. And we'll chat soon. Good luck.
Bye for now.
All right. The commissioner of the Canadian Football League, Randy Ambrosi. And you see all these people writing in. Brady in Saskatoon. Randy. This is why I said to the league guys, just get him doing more interviews. When you see that twinkle in his eyes, it's very hard not to believe in the path that he's forging, correct?
That's exactly what we've been talking about. We talked about leadership, right? People just want to hear from them. And guys like Randy, the real leaders, the good ones, they have that ability to calm people down, to instill trust in people. All they want to do is hear. He didn't have really any news today, right? But when you hear him speak, you know that he's working on the right things. He's thinking about you in the right way and that we trust in the direction that he's going to lead the CFL.
Nelson writes, saw Randy speak about his vision for this league 3 times now. I want to run through a wall every time I hear it. So that's some of the stuff that people are getting out of the interview this morning with the commissioner. We will break and be back with a sports update. TSN's Darren Dreger with an NHL update coming up. So we're opening a new week in fine style. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and healthy.
At Capital Ford, we've taken steps to help customers with buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive at home, and let us know when you need servicing.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at CapitalFordLincoln.com.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. I don't know why I'm surfing Twitter on the tweets, the quotes from Randy Ambrosi. He was just here. But thanks to everybody.
We heard him.
Yeah, who was live tweeting it. Thank you for that. Very positive interview with Commissioner Randy Ambrosi this morning. We'll see if TSN's Darren Dreger is as positive about the future of the NHL in a moment. But sports update this morning on this Monday morning. Tom Brady delivered the shot of the match that made it easy to forget the rest of his swing Sunday. Wouldn't you say? Tiger Woods didn't miss a fairway and earned a small measure of revenge against Phil Mickelson. The PGA Tour is set to return in just over 2 weeks. It's got a tough act to follow after Sunday. Tiger Woods lagged a long birdie putt close enough that his partner Peyton Manning didn't even have to putt. That secured a one-up victory over Mickelson and Brady in the match Champions for Charity on Sunday on CNN Headline News. The goal was to raise $10 million or more for COVID-19 relief, but in the end, online donations sent money climbing toward about twice that much. What a wonderful afternoon of golf and entertainment, frankly. Meanwhile, Brad Keselowski, in a contract year and trying to up his value in free agency, gave Roger Penske a victory on what should have been the most celebrated day in motorsports, but was instead just a six-plus hour NASCAR show. Did you watch any of that?
I did
a little of it.
Yeah, not
Keselowski
much.
Extended Jimmy Johnson's losing streak to 102 races by holding off the seven-time NASCAR champion in overtime to win the Coca-Cola 600, the longest race on the NASCAR schedule. It was the first win for Keselowski this season, his first Coca-Cola 600 victory, and the first at this event for Ford since 2002. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Their kitchen's open and awaiting your order. Call 761-2777 for their hours or visit their Facebook page for their menu. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. I am following NASCAR as much as I can. Did you just hear that? Jordan, our director, just gave a whoop. So I can chat with Jordan about things. You know, the fights on the apron of the track. At least I have a clue what's going on, because up until now, I had no clue what was going on.
Right.
But I'll watch the highlights, read the stories. I just can't sit down and watch zoom, zoom, zoom. I can't.
It's a long day. And that's just the race that's on TV. I mean, Jordan would know the race day is a full day of heats and qualifiers. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on, too. And I got into it when I got to be the track announcer at, it was the auto clearing speedway in Saskatoon.
Right.
Now the Wyant Group Speedway. It was awesome.
Now it's Dave Paulson.
Yeah. And I would, you know, you're kind of doing play by play over the big speakers as they're coming around the turn and who's moving.
That was fun.
It was so much fun. I knew nothing about racing. Nothing. But you get to, those guys are so welcoming. They taught me everything. The guys up there spotting in the booth, they would feed me information, give me the lingo. So that was kind of neat. I haven't done that in probably half a dozen years now, but it was really, really cool. But it was like, I mean, you go there and it's 6 hours minimum that you're out there announcing stuff. It's a long day.
It's a long day. Yeah. Okay. By the way, John in Winnipeg writes in and he says, I think the match concept should be repeated on a monthly basis or sooner. I couldn't agree more. Just get a bunch of celebs in there. It's a pro-am, right? Some big name guys. Would it be as fun as yesterday? Probably not. You brought me down to earth a little in our morning meeting and said it's not going to be like this every Sunday. Like the fun of what went on and Charles Barkley trash talking Tom and Tom shoving it down his throat. How about Tom, by the way, saying, shut your mouth?
It's right out of the handbook.
I got tingles when I heard that to Charles Barkley. So, yeah, why not? And I saw people tweeting, why is this on CNN Headline News? Why is it not on ESPN or TSN or Sportsnet? Well, if you're following this, and that's why I'm more interested sometimes in the business than what actually goes on. Turner Sports, Time Warner Sports, bought the event.
Yeah.
And that was the channel that they put it on. It was a one-off.
Yep.
It sold all the advertising, Capital One and all the rest. It was great. But when the rain was coming down so heavily, and you guys tell me when we got Darren Dreger, by the way, when the rain was coming down so heavily, I didn't think they were going to play either, you. And the coverage I saw today, the people are saying if it was any normal golf event, they wouldn't. But they had to with these guys. In my mind, I was thinking they could move this to a local indoor mini golf track. I would still watch, and they'd still be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
You know they would.
Oh, of course they would. Was it Tom or was it Peyton that stole the Caddyshack line? It started raining hard on the back nine, real hard, after it had let up for a little while. And one of them's like, when's the heavy stuff supposed to come? You know?
That was Eli.
Oh, was it Eli? Yeah, on Twitter.
Right.
When's the heavy stuff supposed to come?
I think you guys should stay out there. The heavy stuff's
just
not
like
coming
from
for a while.
Caddyshack when it's just pouring on the lightning's
coming down.
That's
what I was laughing about. Crying.
So great.
It felt so good to laugh. And by the way, as we await Darren Dreger, and then we will bring in the talk of the quarantine cities in the NHL. John in Winnipeg says, were the players of the match paid? No, they weren't. When you're doing something, what?
No, they had to. The players had to pay to play. So between Tiger and Phil and Tom and Peyton, they came up with the first $10 million part of it to get things started. They had to pay to be a part of this thing. So they were putting up some of their own cash.
Money's not an issue with those guys. You don't have to worry about that. And no, they weren't going to be paid. But this is what I realized watching it yesterday. And I understand you all aren't as giddy about this or nerdy as I am when it comes to sports broadcasting, but this is the future of what we do. I realized that doing the SJHL sim, it's about fun. It's about entertainment. It's about Charles Barkley, an NBA great, calling a golf match. It makes sense when you think about it. What the hell is he there for? He's there for fun. He's there. He doesn't need to be an expert. You got experts for that. And then the interactive nature of them putting tweets up from Jimmy Fallon and J.J. Watt and Eli Manning, obviously, and bringing these guys in during a break for interviews. It's about entertainment now as much as it is with the sport. And I'm sitting there watching thinking, those donkeys, 10 years ago on ESPN when they put Dennis Miller in the box and we weren't ready for it, what are you putting a comedian in there with Pat Summerall and John Mann or whoever it was? No, it's about sports. That's the way I used to be. But now I'm sitting there watching this going, no, I just want to laugh and enjoy these 3, 4, 5 hours.
Well, and they had
that's where this business is going.
Yeah, they had a couple of golf guys, right? Trevor Immelman, right, was the one.
Yep.
And Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas.
And
all
they
wired.
Provided some really good golf insight, the holes, the breaking. So they had a great blend of professionalism, yet they had fun. It was lighthearted, but it wasn't stupid. It was like, it was really, really great. And then with Chuck, that's the value of brand. Right. It wasn't, what is it, a dozen years ago now? He did the golf lessons with Hank Haney on TV, and he couldn't fix that little hiccup in his swing, and he just sucks. But everybody knows Charles Barkley, a Hall of Fame NBA player. Everybody knows that he can't golf. They know golf. He's built that as part of his brand.
Right.
So it kind of fit for him to play golf. And for as terrible as he is, to be an analyst on golf made it even more fun. And then he played. And he three putted. He was on. He had
two
putts for the prize there, and he couldn't make it.
But as you said, would this work every Sunday? We'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the other thing, look, I wanted to talk about this, so we'll get serious with it. Is Dregs ready? Okay, we'll go to a break, and then we'll come back to Dregs. But for Mickelson to say when they went to the longest drive hole, and he's like, time to activate the calves, and they put the camera on Darren. When Tiger's like, now you know what it's like.
Yeah.
Imitate him the way
you will. He's like, Phil, yeah, he's like, time to activate the calves. And Tiger's just like, this is what I have to deal with every Sunday
every
when
time.
I play with him.
That like, is entertainment.
Yeah.
So when these Stanley Cup playoffs start rolling around, if they put up tweets from other players and Hall of Famers on the screen of their comment, maybe not trolling as much. This is where it's going. Look, we got a break, and we'll bring in Dregs next. Okay. We'll get his thoughts on all of this. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Monday morning, Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day.
With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Lots of viewer comments coming in this morning. We'll get to those in a moment, but let's head back out to the GTA. TSN's Darren Dreger joins us on video chat this morning. Hey, shaved. How you doing, Dregs?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. When? I just saw you on TV last week. I thought you had that thing on. Did you shave over the weekend, or what's the deal?
No, I don't think it was over the weekend. It was late last week. I just got to a point where it was too much hassle, you know, and I was warned about this. I'm not one of those guys that, you know, can grow a beard in a week, right? It takes me a few months, to be fair, and I don't think I could even grow a full beard. I'm okay with a goatee, but as was pre-warned, the problem with the goatee is it's almost more management required than shaving on a daily basis. So I'm not doing that. So I dealt with it for about 2 months, and then that was enough.
Well, you've always been a clean cut guy to me. Clearly, that's what I favor. So I'm kind of down with the look. You're rocking now. Drags, nice. before the hockey, you had to have watched the match yesterday. What did you think about it?
I actually didn't watch it live. I'm not going to lie. I was actually playing golf.
Okay.
And it was a bit, yeah, there was some consideration given, a lot of consideration given as to whether or not I should play versus watch. But it was such a glorious day here in Southern Ontario, and we haven't had many of them. So instead, I played golf, and then I watched the highlights later. For me, it was refreshing, you know, and I heard you talk, Rod, going into the break about the entertainment aspect and, you know, Phil being Phil and being the character that he is. I could deal with more of that, no doubt about that. That's why I love these charity events, you know, anything to do with exhibition, specific golf, when you get to see the personalities come out of these players in a competitive sense. I enjoy all of that. But in this case, because we're still very much in the pandemic, to actually have a sporting event that mattered and was live and we could see. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So here's hoping. I mean, other sports have engaged internationally speaking, but here's hoping in North America that we can continue to inch forward in that regard.
The boys here were wondering who, if you had a TSN golf tournament, and maybe you do, like a real one, who would win?
Jeff O'Neill would be hard to beat. He's maybe a 1-2-3 handicap and hits it a mile. He can just flat out crank it. And a real good short game. Most of the hockey players are good golfers. Dave Poulin is a low handicap guy, and no different than Dave Poulin's NHL playing career. Man, he just grinds it out there. He never quits. So Dave Poulin is never out of the hole. There might be one or two that surprise you. James Duthie is a student of the game. He's painful to play with because he carries his practice routine from the range to the golf course. So if he's working on something, you know, some sort of technique, you're going to see that in playing with him on a golf course. There was one a couple of years ago where, and I guess it was just trying to get his hips to turn and trigger and get the momentum moving forward. He would literally take two steps after every swing forward. So he'd make contact with the ball and then step out of the swing by taking two steps on the tee, on the fairway. It was nauseating. It made me want to gag every time I saw him swing. So we've got quite a variety, I would say, quite a collection of good, bad, and otherwise when it comes to golf.
Well, it would be a fun day. Happy Duthie. That's what I think. I could just see you saying, well, now, Happy, this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So with the NHL, so let's go to that. Monday, yeah. We've had the votes with the NHLPA and so forth. So what's the update on playoff hockey?
Well, the update is they're hoping to initiate phase two of the return to play process in early June. And there was a massive document that was sent out to all NHL clubs by the Players Association and the National Hockey League. So they've reached agreement on what the return to play scenarios and the protocol should look like. And that includes, you know, a whole lot of safety protocol, as we can all appreciate. So they've managed to sort through what the 24-team tournament will look like, the play-in formulas, the round robin for the top four clubs in each conference. All of that has been settled. But they've also agreed on the initiatives specific to player safety. But what's interesting in all of this, Rod, and we've touched on it, we've reported on it before, the initiation and phase two period is voluntary. So if a player doesn't want to come back into his NHL city for phase two, that player doesn't have to do that. It's being encouraged, of course, by the League and the Players Association, but it is not mandatory. And NHL teams cannot ask the player to come back. It's entirely up to the player. And, you know, it gets complicated here in Canada because to come into Canada from the United States or certainly from Europe, automatically you are expected and you have to self-isolate or quarantine for 14 days. So in a perfect world, in light of that document coming out late last night, I'm sure all NHL general managers and coaches would prefer that their players get back to their NHL cities now so that they can start that quarantine process so they're ahead of the game. But again, they're not allowed to call player X and say, hey, can you get on a plane ASAP so that you can begin quarantining here in Canada. So that's the latest, but there's no official timeline other than a goal of initiating phase two in early June.
Yeah, I guess you'll find out how much they want to play hockey, but any optional skates, optional, unless it's like optional, you know what I mean? You better be there or you're going to be in trouble type thing. But the one thing we're hearing, and I'm reading the same things you are, is the NHL and the Players Association are working better than any other league. And I took that as just that's hockey thing. Are you getting that sense too, that they're working together as well as it sounds?
Yeah, they definitely have worked closely together throughout this process. And, you know, there are some who are critical, not of the partnership that exists now between the NHL and the NHLPA, but because they've had to shelve any CBA extension discussions or negotiations. And I get that. And look, I also, I'm one who questions whether or not it was wise for the Players Association to come to terms with the NHL on this return to play agreement without attaching some sort of financial certainty to it. You know, what's the escrow world going to look like when the NHL gets back and running? I mean, based on the language in the existing CBA, I mean, the players could be on the hook for up to 30% of their salary. Well, that's never going to fly. So we're going to see moving forward whether or not the good faith that exists between the PA and the NHL will drift into the CBA and those escrow discussions. And if not, you know, then you brace for another fight. But both sides do deserve credit for being singularly focused, and that's on doing everything to help the players and the clubs manage through COVID-19.
Lastly, Dregs, how are you? What's your thoughts on the format? There's a lot of pro, there's a lot of against. How do you feel?
I'm good with it. I'm good with it. I can understand that there was a lot of pushback, especially from the players on the return to play committee, you know, over the fairness aspect of you know, the Chicago Blackhawks or the Montreal Canadiens, a non-playoff team, of course, in a normal 16-team postseason, coming into the playoffs and having equal footing as better teams in each conference. I mean, you know, Montreal matches up against Pittsburgh. What if the Montreal Canadiens beat the Pittsburgh Penguins? And, you know, initially when that was thrown at me, I went, well, I wonder if they can attach some sort of disadvantage, you know, on the Montreal Canadiens or on a non-playoff team. And they talked a little bit about that. But then it gets a little goofy, doesn't it? And one thing that everybody wanted to make sure had to be observed was the integrity of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So look, you know, if the Pittsburgh Penguins, again, just identifying that matchup, are better than the Montreal Canadiens and are a Stanley Cup contending team, then the Pittsburgh Penguins need to prove that, and they need to beat the Montreal Canadiens in a playoff play-in series to get to the field of 16. What I know is this, Rod, there is no way they could make this perfection. It was just impossible. So in coming to terms with all that, I do think that this 24-team format is best-case scenario, and provided that they can get going with the goals on the calendar that they've set out at this point with the initiation of Phase 2 in early June, then that might buy them a little time on the back end as well to either start the 2020-21 season a little bit earlier, or God help us, if there's a second wave of COVID-19 at any place in North America, then the National Hockey League perhaps can buy some time and cushion for that before starting next season.
Yeah, that's the flexibility that they're speaking of. Dregs, outstanding stuff. We're following very closely, so keep up the great work, and thanks for your time as always.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
TSN's Darren Dreger joining us from home, Southern Ontario here. Clark made a mention here about Carolina and Tampa Bay being the only two teams to vote against the 2014 playoff. My guy, I could ask Dregs that, but I did read this morning on The Athletic, Alex Killorn of the Lightning answered that, and he just said that they got the proposal sent it to all their players with the Lightning, and I assume the Hurricanes did the exact same thing, and they simply didn't feel that it was fair. He was speaking just for Tampa Bay, but here's a contending team saying, we don't think this format is fair. Isn't that interesting, though?
Yeah,
that 29 teams did.
Right, and it was the same thing with the response that came from the player rep, in Carolina. And it was, you know what, this doesn't exactly put us in the best position, thinking of his team, the Hurricanes. It favors other teams and doesn't really favor us. And so with that, they voted against it. But they're not voting against playing hockey. They absolutely want to play hockey. And I think that's probably the same thing with Tampa Bay. But yeah, it is interesting that you got two teams that voted against it. But that's simply because you got two teams that were playing pretty good, and they don't want to see other teams have an opportunity. Takes away their odds, right, of winning. So I understand that for sure.
Lots of time left here in hour one, and it's going to tell you the Prairie Mobile text line is open. You can reach us 306-840-8777. That's 840-8777. Twitter, too, at Rod Peterson Show. There's a lot of topics on the table this morning, obviously. The match, which is our poll question, and I'll get to that. Randy Ambrosi's comments, which I think were quite revealing, to be honest with you. I'm seeing one guy wrote in, Brian, he's a regular viewer. He says, a whole lot of nothing. And I'm like, that's not what I took away from it. But if you're going to take away from it what you want to take away from it. So we got text. The poll question is this, which actually doesn't surprise me for Capital Automall, the results for Capital Automall at Universal Collision Center. Did you watch the match? Hashtag the match. 70% of respondents saying, no, they didn't. We should add the addendum. Do you wish you did? Because it was so much fun. And I don't know if it was well enough advertised. I mean, people knew it was on. I got to think they knew it was on.
Oh, yeah.
But to be on CNN's headline news, channel 45 on your or 47 on your access cable package, maybe they didn't get it. Like Clark's a cable cutter, so he said he didn't get it anyways, wished he had it, but didn't. So the 70% to say no, it's like, because you didn't want to watch it or because you didn't get it?
Right.
You know, so
that's a big part of it. And there's so many ways I want to go with this when it comes to the match. I mean, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was so great. And there's so many discussions. Man, I've been watching a lot of shows this morning, whether it's ESPN or TSN or you know, other shows, you know, across North America debating this. And the one thing that came out was the fact that it was for free.
Yeah.
The match one was available for like $10 on pay-per-view. And while I haven't seen viewership numbers, the expectation is that this smashed last year's match. I didn't watch the first one.
Me either.
Right? And so we talk about, you know, should the CFL do a pay-per-view? This is the value of doing it for free, making it available to people, and you get all these great numbers. But, of course, we need cash.
Well,
different discussion.
You can actually, though, look at that and transfer it to a CFL discussion, and I'll tell you how in a minute. But Brady, writing on the Prairie Mobile text line, says, hey, Rod, Tom Brady with an incredible shot but was not good enough to beat Tiger and Peyton. My Giants won 2-0 against the Kaiwoom Heroes. He's talking Korean baseball. They're now sitting at 9-8 and in fifth place. Great to hear from Randy this morning. That's Brady in Saskatoon texting in.
Can I get Brady a shot?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't mention Russell Wilson when he came in on the match. Guys were putting up 50K, 100K, and he comes in, and he's such a nice guy, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
100,000 meals if they get within 12 feet for the 12, right, in Seattle, the fan base, if they get within 12 feet. And if somebody, he said, if somebody gets within 12 feet. And so the first one, boom, it's in. That's 100,000 meals at $5 to $10 a meal. Right, then all of a sudden the next one's in, and they're like, "Is that another? It's another 100,000 meals." And he's too nice to say, "I was just going to put up one." So he's like, "Sure, that's another 100,000 meals."
He makes $35 million a year,
and then a third one goes in, and there's another 100,000 meals. So it's pretty interesting. But he's such a nice guy that, and he makes enough money that I'm sure he can handle it.
A few more messages here from Metal Shingle Guy. He says Ambrosi sounded prepared today. I'd say. Keep up the great job, Randy. Randy Ambrosi knew that if he came on this show, I wasn't going to beat him up. I think we asked a pertinent question. There are no real hard questions to ask at this time, is there?
I don't think so.
He's faced them all already from the others. It was a state of the league, you know, from our home, and I think it went very well. Nathan North Battleford writes in, and he says, missed the first part of the show today, but just wondering your thoughts on the proposed CEBL tournament to be held in July in Ontario. It would be a great opportunity for both the league to gain exposure and possibly get off CBC Gem and onto the main network full time. Networks are starved for content. That's Nate in North Battleford. Way off the board with a CEBL question, but I will answer it because we got all Rattlers games. I ran into a Rattlers player here a couple weeks ago, and he told me that, hey, they've been in constant communication with their players. Maybe that's because Mike Morreale's the commissioner.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Maggi's a former player just like Randy Ambrosi. Yes. But still, the player said to me, they're talking about a year-end tournament. And I said, do you think Saskatoon? He goes, well, it makes sense, of course, because of the low COVID numbers in Saskatoon. So I was kind of waiting for that announcement. I didn't break the news that this is what they were looking at. And it came out on Friday that they are indeed looking in that year-end tournament, but in Southern Ontario. I don't think they said where in Southern Ontario, did they?
I didn't hear.
But just imagine this. You talk about one-offs and this weird world that we live in right now, that it won't always be this way. We're not going back to the way it was before either. But imagine being one of those players. We had one of them on last week, Armani Brooks of the Rattlers, joining us from Texas. You're training all spring for one weekend.
I know.
Think about that.
I know.
And it's just a one-off. I mean, it's just the only year that you're going to do it. Would we prefer to have the 20-game season? Of course, who wouldn't? But you're going to hand out a championship based on a tournament. At least they're doing something. I guess that's my point, Nate, in North Battleford. I would have preferred, of course, it was in Saskatoon, and we'd have been there for all of it. And I'm sure CBC will air the entire tournament. I'm sure that they will. And I want to get back to the TSN and the CFL thing here while we have time in hour one. How I see that the match can be transferred to the CFL. If revenue is an issue, which it obviously is, we all know that it is, could they not sell to the big money sponsors that still have money and are still looking to park it, like a Capital One and whatever the Canadian equivalent would be, sell each weekend's games to this gigantic sponsor? What do you think about that? I mean, that's up to the salespeople to get creative. But my point is, you're going to have to get real creative to make money. And what did John Tory say, the mayor of Toronto, who was the former commissioner of the CFL? He said, the CFL is going to have to get creative here to survive. And that would be one way, because the games are going to be on free television. It's not going to be pay-per-view. Randy said it last week on the town hall. That's just not feasible given their current television contract. Maybe each game is broken down to a big partner and they're plastering their logo everywhere, and at every commercial break it's brought to you by Robin's Donuts. Do you know what I mean?
You're on the right track. Absolutely. Yeah. Not really. I don't think it's something you can do for every game, and it's something that I think has been a little bit of a miss when it comes to the NHL television rights, is they're trying to make every game that big thing, and it doesn't work. It's too much. The thing that made the match great, it was an event, right? It's an event, a tune-in for the event. That's why Hockey Night in Canada has been so successful. Every week, it was an event once a week. And the other games in between, you'd watch as much as you wanted to. You'd watch your team, and you'd be in and out. But you watched on Saturday night. And I think the CFL had that, for me, with Friday Night Football. That was the event. You'd watch the games you want to watch. The football people would watch every game, but you always tuned in for Friday Night Football. Didn't matter who was playing. It was an event. And I think you can do that with sports. You can get a big sponsor for the big events, Friday Night Football, Hockey Night in Canada. Those things are really awesome. And that's what the match did for me.
For sure. Cooper Campbell's watching in Mississippi, one of our many viewers in Mississippi. He's a football guy. And he says, would increasing ticket prices really harm attendance numbers? You bet your bottom dollar it would hurt attendance numbers. The CFL's got an attendance issue now that it's trending this way. And ticket prices is one of the biggest reasons why. That's one of the biggest culprits that we hear from fans. I think it's a combination of keep the ticket prices at most where they are, but it's a marketing issue. And I do have to say this, and we will break and come back and continue this in hour two, but I'm watching Friday Night Football from our home, barbecuing Sask Snow Beef, and I've got on the Hall of Fame game from 2017. They got the panel there on the corner, Tim Hortons Field, Climie, Dunnigan, Rod Smith, and the Riders warming up in the background, and I'm barbecuing, and I'm like, this is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Just to watch. And Brandon Bridge started that game, and he won it. And VA came in off the bench to save the day a couple of times. And I'm like, oh, no, this is a really good thing. This looks great. It is great. The game's great. No. This can't die. Right? But it needs to be spiffed up. And Randy Ambrosi alluded to that in his interview earlier. We'll talk about that and more when we come back in hour two. Mike Abou-Meshrick, Rob Van Stoner will be with us. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
It's time to change the way we do business.
Because it's time to focus on staying safe and staying healthy.
At Capital GMC, we've taken steps to help customers who are buying, selling, and servicing vehicles.
It's time to shop online, test drive from home, or let us know if you need service work.
We'll pick up your vehicle and return it to you when it's fixed at no extra charge.
It's time to serve our community.
It's time to flatten the curve.
Join us online at capitalgmc.ca.
Stay safe.
Be kind to each other.
And wash your hands.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it. And when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards. They're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.